It's Joe Cameron here with you till noon, from noon till three. It's all about 60s, 70s and 80s, so stay with us till then.
The place you live.
The stories you share.
BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.
Joe Cameron.
Hello there and welcome to the show. Yes, it is me, Joe Cameron. I'm here with you till three today. All the best tunes of 60s, 70s and 80s.
The place you live.
The stories you share.
The music you love. BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.
But it's Joe Cameron here. 60s, 70s and 80s is all about the music today. So we're going to kick off the show with Tom Jones. Yay! Oh, that is the one and only Tom Jones. I love this show. I just keep smiling. Following Brody this morning is making me smile. And of course, it's a beautiful sunny Sunday afternoon. So I wonder what you're doing. It's September and the sun is still out. How cool is that? But yes, 60s, 70s and 80s today, all the way up till 3 o'clock. And we kicked off there with Tom Jones. So it's Joe Cameron here with you until 3 o'clock. But stay with us as well, because we've got music, but we also like to bring in some guests as well that know the area and know the music. And our guests coming up in the first half an hour, absolutely that to a T. The guys are called Lawrence French and John Green, and they met each other in 1965, and they're still playing music together now. And one of which is an accountant. So he's had some big accountancy jobs. But for all those years, he's been making music. So he's coming up in the first half an hour. And our guests in the studio look very excited to be here, actually. They look very, very excited. They've been friends since 1965. And they're two guys who've lived locally in Kenilworth and Warwickshire for most of their lives. And one of them has got 20 guitars, which we'll hear more about in a minute. Oh dear, I can't. Oh, I've been just told off. Whoopsie, there's only 10. I've been told off already. But they've been making music together since 1965, one of which an accountant in the day. But they've never let go of their musical ambition and still do it to this day. And they are two chaps in the studio called Lawrence French and John Green. Hello, both. How are you today?
Hello, we're fine. Hello.
Oh, have I just let the cat out of the bag?
Oopsie. Yeah,
oh no, you're going to be in trouble. Are your guitars a bit like us, we women, when we go and buy things and you go, oh, I like your new dress on? You go, I've had it for years.
Well, that's
Is
right.
It a bit like it?
They're all different. So. And none of them ever get played.
Oh, do you know? Well, some things are just meant to be looked at, aren't they? I think there must be a big trophy cabinet then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Running out of storage. So I've had a sort of natural stop now, really.
But you are two chaps that met in 65, mm-hmm. weren't you? You
yep.
Had a mutual friend and they said, go out for a pint together. You hit it off and you've been making music ever since. But let's have a see what you do in your day jobs, or what you did do in your day jobs. John, what about you?
Well, I was at school at the time.
Yeah, right.
Day job. Yeah. Well, oh, yes. I spent the last few decades being a chartered accountant.
Yes.
Of course, bearing in mind, for the benefit of younger viewers, parents, our parents of our generation, they went through the war, and all they wanted after the war was a bit of peace and quiet, and they wanted their children to get a trade, you've got to get a trade.
Go and get a proper job.
Go and get a proper job. Yeah. And if you mentioned, like at one point, I borrowed a friend's saxophone and was sent out into the garage to play it because it was too loud in the house, I mean, there was absolutely no way your parents then would have said, yeah, go on, you know, try and be a professional saxophone player. So due to the volume of the sax, I then had to give that back, and I'd already taken up the guitar. My dad had a guitar back in the 30s when he used to sing around the campfire in his great outdoor life with his best friend and cousin called Freddie. Mm. But he put the guitar away because poor old Freddie was killed in the war in 1942. Oh, and I saw it come out of its box when I was about age 7, I suppose. Mm. And it was a rhapsody of smells and red plush. I can't tell you how much I fell in love with this beautiful instrument, actually. Yeah. Looking back, it was a bit of a cheap old acoustic acoustic guitar type with a hole in, but that was where the love affair started, and then I haven't looked back. they're like ladies. They're lovely to hold, and they're all different. And rhapsodies of steel strings and wood.
Wow! But so you went off to be an accountant, didn't you? You had to really ditch your idea of making music your profession.
I did.
On to be a chartered accountant. Yeah, you still continued, haven't you, to make music together, the pair of you, which is amazing, isn't it?
I'm not sure we really ever thought we would be professionals.
Mm.
Although, as we were talking just now, and one of the things I would like to have done is to, during that period, 64, 65, 66 period, to have gone down to London to see just if we could have made it. But, you know, we were happy enough doing what we were doing, which was playing locally, playing local clubs. And I think the music business is such a cutthroat business anyway.
I wonder if it's any different now, you know, because like, I don't know whether you watch X Factor, but occasionally I'm dipping into it. I'm more really thinking about my show today than watching X Factor.
I'm an occasional dipper myself,
yeah. Yeah, but because they're often saying, last night there was a young girl and she got the most amazing voice, and her parents were saying exactly what your parents said, you know, you need to go and get a job. And I think it was an accountancy or something like that. But she's like, no, I'm a musician, I'm an artist, I'm going to carry on following my dream. She was only 20. So I wonder if now we're more all open to this idea of following your dreams rather than just getting a job, you think, or what?
I think we are, because yes, I guess that the parents of that girl lived through the 80s and whatever, and taking up music as a career, a serious career, is now more feasible. And there's these music colleges, you know, the one that Paul McCartney started in Liverpool. So, you know, nobody's going to laugh at you to say, you know, I want to be a professional musician. I mean, you do need some natural talent, and you do need in the business a huge amount of luck. And you do need to push yourself, but you know, luck does play a you know, right place, right time, meeting the right people. But it was a lot harder in the 60s, because we all lived in little bubbles. I mean, you got to realize, again, for some of the listeners who don't understand, that there was no such thing as social media.
Yeah, no, that's right. You didn't have Facebook or Twitter or internet. So you didn't know, did you?
You say, I met Laurie. Yeah. It was my brother that introduced me to him, because you knew your friends at school.
Yeah.
You may have known the person or the girl or boy who lived next door or next door but one, but that was it.
Yeah.
You know, that was your world. Yeah. So if you wanted to start a band, then you had to find out through friends of friends, do you know anybody who plays the drums? Or you could advertise in the old Coventry Evening Telegraph, and there was actually quite a thriving column, wasn't it?
It just makes you wonder how anything happened before the internet, really. Yeah. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to play a little trailer, a bit of tune.
Okay.
Our tune coming up, because you are meant, you know, like in the 60s, our next tune coming up after this little teaser is Len Barry, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yes.
Does that bring up
yes. Actually, I believe my wife bought that, and we still have the 45 single in a box at home. Yes.
Oh, do you know, I love this show because we get people ringing up and saying, that was my... We had a lady, Polly, the other week, ringing up saying that was the first tune that we played in our new house together in the 1960s. Yeah. Hello, Polly, if you're listening. But we love that, so we're going to play that. We're going to dedicate that to you. So we're going to come back to these guys in the studio in a minute. Aren't they fascinating? I love these people. We're going to tell you about their music in a little while, so stick with us.
BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.
Oh, blimey, it's all happened in the studio there. We were just having a little chitter, titter to ourselves even about taking two pictures. Why do we always still do that? Take two pictures? We don't need to get them developed anymore, but we still insist on taking two pictures. But I'm joined in the studio today by two fantastic chaps called Lawrence French and John Green. And they met in the 1960s over a pint, and they've been making music ever since. So you now actually use the benefit of your experience as well, now, don't you, to help other people make music, because you've got your own recording studio.
Yeah, I've had my own studio. Started to build it about 10 years ago. The technology's improved so much. I mean, when you think that the Beatles did Sgt. Pepper on a 4-track, and then you had to bounce the tracks. I don't know if you know what that means, but like with only 4 tracks, if you record, say, the drums and bass, you then need to bounce those down to 1 track in order to still have 3 left. Let alone then you keep bouncing down, because you've only got these 4 tracks to play with. Then you play with a tambourine, you know, and it degrades. Then now we've got digital technology, literally with unlimited tracks. So I can, you know, the technology I have in my room at home in Leamington Spa is far and way in excess of what the Beatles had access to back in the 60s. And I know your question's going to be, listener, is, so how come you can't produce an album like Sgt. Pepper? Well, good question, because it's not just the equipment, is it? It's, in their case, it was a lot to do with George Martin and the huge amount of originality. And that was what was good about
it. Is that what your inspiration was in the 60s? So you were in Kenilworth, weren't you? Both in Kenilworth were you in the 60s. Right. What was Kenilworth like in the 60s then? What do you remember? Pubs, clubs,
pretty,
dancing?
Oh, God, no.
What was it about?
It was a small country town.
Right.
Dare I say it, with small country town attitudes.
Yeah.
I mean, it...
So what did you do with your time then?
Well, we played music. And, you know, it was always the problem of finding somewhere to practice. Mm. That was one of the biggest problems. So we found a place out at Honnerley, didn't we? Village Hall, way out, so we didn't attract the attention of the local constabulary, which we tended to do.
Oh. We did once.
We did. Yeah.
The first place we practiced that was in Torrington Avenue.
Yeah.
In our rhythm guitarist's dad's car transporter business.
Yeah.
So it was a huge shed. What we hadn't realized was that our amplifiers were pretty feeble, but you play inside a big corrugated iron warehouse and it amplified it. So after about 15 minutes, the police cars came around. And bear in mind, back then, it's like, we're having none of this nonsense, lad. You have to stop it now.
Right? Turn your radios down, lad.
turn those, whatever they call those things there.
So people can get your tracks, aren't they? The web address again is, remind us of what the web address again is.
Oh, the skylinesongs.com. Or johnsongs.com.
Johnsongs.com, that's it. And so they're all on there. People can download them and listen to them on YouTube. So I've listened to a few of them. I was trying to connect, like, the, the titles to try and get, like, a little theme. And I say they're mostly, biographical, aren't they? And some are quite dark as well, aren't they? But why is that?
I don't know, it's easier to write dark stuff,
isn't it?
It's very difficult to write a da-di-da-di-da, it's summertime when the weather is... Oh, no, sorry. Now you've got to pay 6p royalty because I sang the first line of a song.
Do you think it's easier to write dark?
It is, somehow.
They're more graphic,
I think also we're both fairly serious people as well.
Right.
Although we've enjoyed being in a band and playing. But I think, we are serious people.
Mm.
And... we used to write a lot together, and it always seemed a more natural thing to write about perhaps more serious, not somber, but more serious.
Is it a type
things.
Of therapy, you say? Because a lot of people want to write dark.
There is a certain
it's
a very cathartic thing. I mean, I wrote a song some time back about the state of Coventry. Actually, I came into the city.
Oh, yeah.
With my wife, we were shopping, and I was just appalled at the sort of state that the city had got into, and wrote a song about it. You know, I mean, it was that kind of serious sort of thing, not philosophically serious, but
that was one of our best. Actually,
it was. Yeah. It was a good song. That, yeah. Wow.
It's been fascinating listening to you two guys. I think it's amazing that you've managed to stay together through the thick and thin. You ever fell out?
Yeah.
Do you argue? Yeah.
All the time.
He describes us as an old married couple.
When's your biggest Barney that you've had? The biggest blow?
It's naturally, and you see it happen in all bands, and sometimes bands just explode because they say the worst thing that you can possibly hear in a band, which will cause upsets, is when the drummer says, "Can we do one of my tunes?" But you have musical differences, and we've played in lots of bands.
So you just shout at each other and yell.
Oh, no, no.
We just get in a mood and stomp off.
You go into like a man cave. Yeah, the man cave.
I think we know when there's a bit of silence. And, if you're in a band, like we're now playing in a band called the Phoenix Trio.
Yeah.
And there's four of us. Yeah. So I don't know how that happened, but we'll keep...
There's a joke in there somewhere.
And an accountant. I can't count. No.
Yeah.
But in that band, it's because you're aiming for excellence all the time.
Yeah.
So you're pushing each other and to be a bit better and a bit better and a bit better.
Yeah.
And that does put pressure on everybody in the band.
Yeah. Tell you what, hold that thought. We're going to go check, see what's happening on the road, and then we'll just come back and find out what you're doing for the rest of the day. Hang with us.
The place you live.
The stories you share.
The music you love.
BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.
Yeah, this is indeed Coventry, BBC Coventry and Warwickshire, just coming up to 12:30. We've got a studio full of people next door on our tour today. Oh, it's lovely on a Sunday, having so many people around. I might just give them a wave in a minute. But yeah, very busy here on a Sunday. And I'm joined in the studio by two local musicians, Lawrence French and John Green. And we're just going to find out what they're doing for the rest of the day, because thank you ever so much for coming in and spending the time and telling us all about your musical journey and your ups and downs and your highs and lows. What was your high, your musical high? You had a bit of a claim to fame, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, what was it?
Well, it's always a pleasure to play with lots of name bands, even though you're just the support band.
Yeah.
I suppose the big one that sticks in our memory is when we played support to the Jeff Brett Group in 1968 at the Ben Memorial Hall in Rugby, which I Googled it the other day and it's still there going strong.
Yeah.
I don't think they have bands there now, though. But back then, there was no DJs, and so live bands were going up and down the M1s and motorways lots and lots of appearances. I'd always really liked Jeff Beck since first seeing him playing in the Yardbirds, and he's the guitarist. If you ask any top guitarist who's the governor, they'll say him. Jeff Beck. Yeah. I mean, he's just got it in spade loads.
Because it was two of the famous singers as well playing at the time.
Yeah, it was Rod Stewart was the lead singer and Ronnie Wood was on bass. And of course, 68, this is before he got the invitation to join the strolling ones, the Rolling Stones. But yeah, I mean, we got to the gig, we started unloading our gear, and then this big Ford Transit arrives, it opens and out pitches my guitar idol, Jeff Beck. And
But also, there was
another story about a drummer story.
Yeah, a drummer story. The drummer with the Beck group at that time was Graham Edge from the Moody Blues.
What?
He was depping for Beck's
Mickey Waller played drums.
And he did the most generous thing. He allowed me to play his kit.
Whoa.
Which any drummer will tell you, you know, you don't allow anybody on your kit. It's set up precisely to your requirements, you know, the angle of the drums, where things are positioned, the tuning and so on. But to save having to move his kit off and my kit onto the stage, he said, use mine. So I had the enormous privilege of playing the Moody Blues drum kit. And when the curtain goes back, you've got the Moody Blues written across the kick drum. So for a nanosecond, the audience thought they got the Moody Blues playing as well as Jeff.
Wish you'd have brought your drums in. I often say to myself, drumming is the one of the things that I want to do, because I just think it'd be great. You know, save you having a bit of a like...
Very therapeutic. You know,
yes, exactly. Yeah. I just want to bash the drums.
Yeah.
You're totally fascinating, you guys. And you now spend your time sharing your tips online and everything, so people can check in the website, can't they? So what are you doing for the rest of the day?
I don't know. We're in the middle of major renovations at home at the moment.
Yeah.
So we're,
I'll be on the radio, Joe. Get me out of there. I'm a drummer. Get me out of there.
That's right. We're having a major clear out of everything, so I'd probably get hauled in for that.
Really?
Yeah, I've got to get the ladders out and cut some ivy down, so it's
back. That's all very boys' jobs.
It's all very domestic, isn't it?
And do you want me to just say that we need you for another half an hour then, just so you can just stay out for a little bit longer?
That'd be great.
That'd be good.
You always say you got stuck in traffic or something anyway, but you have a lovely day anyway. Thank you so much for coming anyway.
And
have a nice next chapter of your lives.
Thank you.
That was very profound, wasn't it?
Very nice.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, Nicola, I just love local people, local stories. Is local chat. It's flipping brilliant. People that have been around all these years. I'm making them sound like dinosaurs. I've been around since the 60s, playing music, having argy barges, and still there with John's songs. It's brilliant. It's just after 12:30. It's Joe Cameron here on BBC Coventry and Warwickshire. I hope you're doing okay today. It's a sunny Sunday. That's all we need, isn't it? We've got some lovely tunes coming up for you. Four Tops and Monkeys.